Right now, it is time not to go around the world, but to go around the Berkshires. It's time for the Berkshire Edge on Air. It's a time where we are joined by both David and Marcy every week. Good morning, Marcy.
Good morning. Unfortunately, David is not here yet. But
it's all right. We've learned over the years that, or over the weeks or months or whatever, that you will do fine until he either appears
he
or
will,
not.
I'm assuming he'll appear. But anyway, I will try to proceed on my own.
well, like I said, I'm sure he'll get there. And by the way, anybody out there will know, I'll give you the reasons why he's going to be late. Mm. He had to take his kids to school. So there
right.
you go, folks.
Yes, right. And he's very upset that he's late.
Well, it's what media can get interrupted by kids, believe you
me. Life
right.
can get interrupted by kids.
Everything gets interrupted by kids.
That's exactly right.
And throw a dog or a cat on top of that?
No, there is a cat.
Okay. Well, anyways.
And a horse?
We will get to the stories. We'll start off in Great Barrington, where the Great Barrington Library Trustees have endorsed the concept of installing a statue of a civil rights leader, W.E.B. Du Bois.
Well, you know, this is really the part of a continuing story. W.E.B. Du Bois, as most of your listeners know, was born in Great Barrington and really was the darling of the community when he was a child. People recognized that he was a child with great talent, and the community fathers actually paid for his education. They sent him to college, they sent him to Fisk, and then they continued to pay for graduate work at Harvard. But somewhere along the line, his politics got in the way, and so the town turned against him. There has been a great rapprochement in the last 5 or 6 years. This is Du Bois' 150th anniversary, or the anniversary of his birth. And so the town has been celebrating, but nevertheless, there is still lingering dislike for Du Bois, because at the end of his life, he became a communist, and he also left the United States. Oh, here I see David coming down the street. Good. There was an effort in about 2004 when some new schools were built to name a school after him, and that failed. Last week we had the first attempt to rename one of the schools for Du Bois. And then, a few days after that, a couple from Great Barrington, an author named Danny Klein and his wife, who is a Dutch journalist, Freke Joost, who have lived in Great Barrington for 40 years, presented a proposal to the library that a statue of Du Bois be positioned on the lawn of the library. And the library trustees heard the presentation, and they voted unanimously to permit it.
I think that's great. And
it is. I mean, it's so there are these two initiatives happening at the same time. One is the library possibility, and the other is the possibility of renaming one of the schools, which was not permitted in 2004. The library approval, of course, is only advisory. This has to be voted on by the Historical Association and also by the Select Board. So this is only advisory, and of course it has engendered all kinds of letters. The first letter we got is from one of the prominent members of the Republican Party here in Great Barrington, saying that he was un-American as we approach Veterans Day. Veterans gave their lives for their country, or they fought for the country, and this man left the country. He turned his back on America, and then there is a slew of other. Comments are disagreeing with that perspective. So this is going to be a very lively debate. I mean, in some ways, it may be easier to put a statue on the on the library lawn than it will be to rename the school.
I don't know. I went to school. I kind of thought it was communist. You know, you had no choice of what you had to do.
Well, of course. But, you know, here is a man who he founded the NAACP. He's one of the most brilliant writers and certainly the most brilliant writer that was ever born in Great Barrington.
Well, the whole thing is a man or a woman or a human being should not be judged by one portion of their life. They should be judged by
the body of and what they have achieved and accomplished.
My father was a great man for 53 of his 55 years and had problems the last 2 years of his life.
Right.
Didn't mean he wasn't a great man and a great father. He was.
Well, this is racism.
But there's also a broader... Unfortunately, there's a broader, bigger issue, and it is just the way that things are being looked at right now is incredibly narrow-minded.
Yeah,
and that is what happens when you have screen, and everybody thinks that, you know, all opinions are created equal, essentially. And it's unfortunate because it doesn't allow one to pull back and look. It's not even set up.
I'm sorry, I just think it's plain racism. It's covert racism. It's hidden
racism.
Yes,
it's a good, it's a perfect way to say it broadly,
right.
But it doesn't alter the fact that you are essentially then having to call everybody racist.
Well, but Jill, you know, this man left the United States because, you know, after all his work as a civil rights leader, he couldn't find a comfortable place in this country. And now he's being accused of having turned his back on the United States and gone to live someplace else. One has to ask why he felt the need to do that.
One can be just like, this is why they don't really let me talk very much, and it's probably a good thing, what I'm about to say, is one can also consider what happened when Dr. King was shot.
Yeah.
So it's like sometimes when you're in the midst of something like this, there aren't a lot of options. And this is what I mean about broadening the lens.
Oh, yes. Well, that's right. And there weren't a lot of options for Du Bois, apparently. Yeah. David is here.
He's out. Well,
remember that he was like in his 90s when he went to Ghana.
Yeah.
It's not
like he left the United States to start a war against the United States.
No, he didn't.
He left the United States because the United States left him, in his opinion, before he left the United States.
Well, yes, that's right.
All right.
And apparently, judging by what some of the comments about the statue... He was right to leave.
Yeah, that's right.
that kind of bias still exists. I mean, we're now, our president is now big friends with Russia, after all.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Well, they're no longer communists. That's right. Russia, so,
all right. Well, they would say they are.
So that's the first story we're going to talk about here now. And the second story is we're going to talk about David finally getting in on the show. And the third story is the development about the Berkshire Hills Regional School Committee. And you've mentioned it slightly, renaming Monument Valley Middle School after Du Bois. That's what we've been talking about in the second portion of this.
Yeah, it's part and parcel of the whole thing, although it is a separate initiative that David knows more about than I do.
Well, you know, years ago when they were building their new regional school, two new schools, an elementary school and a regional middle school, and closing the little schools that were scattered around the three towns, Stockbridge, West Stockbridge, and Great Barrington, and consolidating all the students into one facility, some people said, well, let's name the elementary school after W.E.B. Du Bois. And there was a huge fight over that, which still rankles today. But instead of that, they named it after some little creek that runs by the elementary school, Muddy Brook. That's the best they could come up with. And so they named the, across the street is the regional middle school, and they named that after another geographical item, which is the Monument Valley.
Yeah.
So now there's a proposal kind of being entertained by the school committee of renaming the middle school after Du Bois, because there are classes being that are in the middle school that are studying Du Bois. So so this is reviving this in two different venues, you might say, reviving this whole issue of this native son who is not quite accepted by some people in the community.
All right. Let's go to story number three, and that is a visit from White House correspondent April Ryan.
Well, this is really a continuation of the same story. David, do you want to begin?
Well, no, she's a White House correspondent. This
right.
is not the same.
Well,
she was a speaker at Simon's Rock, at the graduation.
This is April Ryan.
April Ryan, yeah. And that she's an African-American journalist that covers the White House, and she was quite outspoken and is outspoken about the state of race relations in the United States and about the Trump administration in particular. So she was...
You may remember her. She was in the news about a year ago when... she raised an issue with Trump, and he asked her why
just
didn't she...
set up a meeting, yeah.
set up a meeting with the Black Caucus. Aren't they friends of yours?
Yeah.
Trump asked. You know, she answered that she's a journalist. You know, it's not her job to set up meetings. It's her job to report on them. But she also said that she's received death threats, you know, after she asked the White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders whether Trump had considered resigning. So, and she started to get death threats. So she was the keynote speaker. She was the graduation speaker
right.
at Simon's Rock
They're doing they're doing a lot of great things up there. They've got
Simon's Rock. They are.
They've got the Daniels Arts, that big arts festival, which is coming up.
Yeah.
They just continue to get more and more involved each year, and also involve the community, which I think is really, really smart.
Well, that is a big effort on their part.
Yeah, that's right. Ian Bickford, their new, what do you call him?
Provost.
He's in. You know, this is one of his initiatives that he wants the college to be, you know, an active player and in the community, which is a good thing.
Yep,
I mean,
absolutely.
They're a great resource for
they
the community.
They are a great resource. I mean, we have a very close relationship with them, and they help us a lot on stories. You know, they have academicians there. Who are experts in certain fields, and you know, they're available to us to call on when we need some background. So they are a terrific resource, and they have concerts and lectures and art exhibits, and they really do, you know, in the last few years they've actively been welcoming the community.
And not to omit the fact that a professor at Simon's Rock, a fictional professor, is the key character in our serial novel.
There you go. Okay. All right. Now,
which is called, by the way, Over the Edge, which is how I feel most of the time.
So now let's go over the edge and do another serial, and that is the Great Barrington Select Board.
Well, yeah, you know, this is sort of following up on the Du Bois issue. We had elections, town elections, and there's some new members of the Great Barrington Select Board, and the longtime chairman of the board did not run again, Sean Stanton. He's a great member of the community and a great farmer, actually, He was replaced by Kate Burke. But they had to elect a new chairman. And they elected, they chose Steve Bannon, a longtime member of the select board.
And this is also our Steve Bannon, our not Steve, Trump's.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, oh, yeah, this is not Breitbart News. This
no, that's Steve Bannon's in Prague.
The good Steve Bannon, not the evil Steve Bannon. And Steve Bannon is also chair of the Berkshire Hills Regional School Committee. So this has caused a bit of concern among people, and we have a number of letters and so on about it, that he's actually now chair of two committees that are not necessarily, whose interests don't necessarily converge. So they're saying that he has a kind of conflict. he can't serve two masters equally well. That's what people are concerned about.
On the other hand, he has been a superb public servant. I mean, he's been chair of the school board. How many years, David?
Oh, I don't know. A long time.
And presided there very judiciously.
Well, it's interesting. Our listeners in Connecticut will understand. In North Canaan last night, there was a big meeting. The planning and zoning chairman wanted to name himself the planning and zoning official, which went out, which is a paid position, of course, which goes out and checks. And that's, everybody looked at the state constitution, and that's illegal. So they had a meeting last night. And I'm sure that did not happen at the meeting because it was not only a conflict of interest, you can't oversee yourself, and you can't also pay yourself.
Why not?
So let's rewrite the laws.
Well, these are not paid positions. I mean, you know, Steve Bannon is really, I mean, he is contributing his time and his expertise. They're not paid positions.
There's a small stipend. I mean, for the hours that you put, it's virtually a full. Well, you know, it's virtually a full-time job. Each one of those posts, you know, so he's fully committed, put it that way. But people are worried that he's, you know, that the interests of the town and the interests of the regional school district are not necessarily
on the same path.
On the same path, yeah. Especially when it comes to budget items.
Yeah, not saying that takes nothing away from him being a good man and a hard worker. It's just a question of, do you want to put yourself in the fact that maybe you have to recuse yourself so many times that becomes bad part of the deal.
Yeah, because there are five people on the board of select board. Because there's now a woman again, so it's the select board, not the board of selectmen.
Okay.
But there are five people on it, and if one people withdraws, then you have the possibility of a tie.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thinking may have been that Bannon is the longest serving member of that. The board of select board, and they're going to have to replace the town manager has announced that she's going to leave her post, so they're going to have to go through the process of selecting another town manager, and they may want somebody on the chair as chair of the select board who has a lot more experience on that board and in recruiting a new town manager. So I think maybe that's the reason that he was, you know, considered.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we have about 3 minutes left, so let's get on to the happier election day note.
Oh, yes. Well, in Alford. Now, Alford is a very small town.
Very
small. but I think there are about 800... residents, they elected the first woman to be their member of the select board. So it's a horticulturist, Peggy Ray Menden Wilson, and she's quite lovely, a lovely person. So congratulations to them, I would say.
So the women are emerging.
I mean, well, you know, and also I might say that Alford is a fairly progressive town. They have they decided not so long ago to install their own fiber optic network for all residents, so that Alford, at least, has probably the best broadband internet connection in all of the county.
Yeah, they paid for it themselves.
And they paid for it themselves.
But talking about women getting elected, we'll wrap it up with a national story, and that is in Georgia, the Democrats.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that interesting?
One with a black woman who's going to run for governor the first time that a black woman is running for governor from any party across the country.
Ever, right. I mean, and I understand the last time there was a black governor was during Reconstruction in the 1860s.
In Georgia.
And here's the other part of it that's amazing. Both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton endorsed her. during the primary.
Well, did they appear at the same?
I don't think so.
Together?
I don't think so.
But you know, people would not do. People should read the Amy Chosik book, because it gives you a tremendous amount of insight all the way around with
everybody.
What
is that? Which book is that?
It's Amy Chosik. It is called Chasing Hillary, I think.
Uh-huh.
But it was the two. It's not just. It's about the two campaigns.
Right.
So it goes back to Obama. But she's a Times reporter, and I think that it would be. It's informative all the way across the boards for everybody.
I just think that it's absolutely terrific, and I think that even though it's never been done, I think the voting population, the black population, is large enough where you can get some independence in the black population where it actually might happen.
I read an analysis, and you know it sure is not a shoo-in.
No, not at all.
Trump won Georgia by only 5 percentage points. So it's not, you know, so there is some wiggle room there.
And there is a new candidate that is going to be opposing her. It's not a sitting governor.
Right, that's right.
That's going to help her a lot.
Right,
and there's a vicious campaign going on the other side.
Oh, God.
Well, from on the Democratic side, I mean, this is, regardless of whether she wins or loses, it's a symbolic, inclusive kind of party.
Yes.
That the Republicans are not. And I think that sends a message nationally, which is interesting. I mean, look at the Democratic gubernatorial candidate in Texas, for instance.
Right.
Beto O'Rourke.
No.
No, he's running against Cruz.
Yeah. There's an interesting character, candidate in Texas who's running for governor against Abbott.
Yeah, so It's going to be an interesting election.
It is going to be an election
year this year. Well, guess what? We filled out the time, and David got on the air, and the kids got to school, and everything's okay.
I'm sorry to be a little late, but my son had a project that he has to present to the school today, and he was madly finishing it off this morning and pasting it onto big big display boards. So that's why we're a little late.
All right. Well, it was great to speak to you guys, and we'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge Online here on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, you can hear this show on demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on the Berkshire Edge on air.